messages from our assembly members? I'm not aware of any. This is announcement time. If there are none, then get more time for teaching. All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. We're in chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. You follow along as I read. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. All right, we'll open our service in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time this afternoon to open the scriptures and examine your word. And Lord, I just pray at this time we have our open hearts to the word, and Lord, that we can receive it and the truth that we hear. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so in the book of 1 John here, chapter 2, a passage we have had some instruction on from our pastor, as we had a series on the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as well. My focus will be slightly different, but these are certainly verses we've seen and read and had teaching on in the past. And so just a quick review of this chapter. So we see that the Lord is giving us some tests here. These are traditional outline. It would be the three tests to discern: are we saved, and are we following the right Jesus? Certainly there are many false teachers out there. So how can we be sure on these things? So, for example, at the beginning of chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, for example, talk about a moral test in regard to obedience. And following in verses 7 through 11, we have a social test having to do with love. And then we have our section here in 12 through 17, which we'll discuss today. And then at the end of the chapter, of chapter 2, the third test is about the dangers of Antichrist and some doctrinal tests that we can ask when there could be a question of something we're hearing about Christ or about who is God. We can know some tests to discern these things. So our focus today is on verses 12 through 17. And in here, the Lord is speaking to churches, and specifically in regard to men. And so we see that there are three categories here in the verses, especially 12 through 14, which will be our focus. So we see the fathers, we see the term young men, and we see the term little children. And so specifically in this passage, the Lord's concern is for specifically the men, because men have a high accountability to the Lord in terms of husbands, in terms of their homes and their wives, and then as what also filters down to you know, men with some training in Scripture and Bible that may or may not be married, but want to continue in their learning and their understanding of Scriptures. And then we have little children, which are, you know, literally, you know, newly saved, or someone that's at their beginning of their spiritual walk. So, as I've reflected over, you know, especially recently, we had our seminary graduation last week. And so, this is obviously a visible milestone where training has occurred, and there's been an evaluator of that training, that being from our pastor, of course. And so all these students have met the criteria and met the appropriate standards of achievement, and they, in these cases, were hitting a milestone of some type of a diploma, whether it be a certificate, bachelor's, master's, doctorate, and so forth. So these are visible milestones, and these are certainly excellent accomplishments that have had a lot of hard work and study. And so, you know, the focus I'm interested here today is, you know, we're not all in seminary, but our focus should be on spiritual growth. And so, we don't always hit a milestone per se. There's no one there to hand us a certificate. But, you know, we should be self-motivated as we read scriptures. We're saved. Reading and understanding these truths. And so we have to motivate ourselves to continue on each day. And it's not easy. There's no one there, like I said, to say, well, after you've read the Bible seven times through, we'll give you a certificate with your name on it. And that would be nice, I guess, but there aren't things like that. And so our heart as believers and as you know, church members here is we have to find a way to continue on each and every day. And so behind closed doors, so to speak, when no one's there to hand us a certificate, what is our heart attitude? Are we, you know, earnestly after spiritual growth? And that's a question for each and every one of us to answer on our own. But it is a challenge. It's a day-in and day-out real-life challenge throughout our whole lifetime. And it's not something that gets measured after a certain number of months or through a passage of time. You don't just say, well, oh, yeah, I've been a member of that church ever since it began. It must be worth something. Well, it's a really, you know, those are the hard questions when how much have you learned in that time? How much have you applied to your heart and your obedience? And what has been your true growth? And so this is the topic that we're going to look at a little bit more today. So I titled the message here, Your Spiritual Growth Chart. And just to let you know, it's not a piece of paper where you have something signed with your name on the end. So, but it is something that it's our individual heart attitude that we should be motivated and move to do on our own. So let's look at our passage here again in verses 12 through 14. And again, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So, we have this theme here of the the three categories of growth, I'll call them. We have the fathers, we have the young men, and we have the little children. And so the connection I want to make here is to our spiritual growth. But do keep in mind that, you know, in this passage, this is, you know, it's the Lord speaking to churches, and specifically the men in those churches. Again, fathers being the ones that have matured and grown over many, many years. Young men have had some training, but maybe not complete. And then the little children would be equal to a new believer. And so now, of course, any particular day, if someone were to measure the growth or maturity of these three categories of the men, they're not going to be the same. And that's okay. You know, we don't expect a new believer to have complete understanding and scripture memorized on the second day. It just doesn't work that way, and probably wouldn't be practical either. So the question is, where are we? You know, and given that you have some idea, you know when you were saved, how long it's been since then, how much exposure you've had to the scriptures and understanding and learning. So that's for you to decide where you are on that path, from starting it as a new believer all the way to whatever your definition of fully mature, full understanding of scriptures might be. But the focus here is on the progression. What's been the development? What's been your development? What's been my development from the time I've been saved? So in my secular job, I'm a number cruncher. I work with numbers all the time. I understand some people will find that completely boring, but it works for me. So I deal a lot with charts and graphs, so I got to throw one in here. So if we have a top line here that is, I'll call, mature, and a horizontal line below it is called immature. That would be the spectrum of, you know, new believer to fully advanced believer. And so you might call this mature. It would also be, you know, perfect, although we're not perfect as humans, certainly. Immature, you could say imperfect. And then another way we could think about it, this maybe on a day-to-day basis as we evaluate our growth, is sinless. And then on the immature, imperfect side, sinful. Intentionally spelled F-U-L-L. We don't want to be, just to be clear. But so now, as we live our day, we live our week, our spiritual life, at any point in time, we're going to be somewhere in this chart. When we wake up, you know, so you could put a dotted line here in between the two, almost looks like a road if you look at it from the side. But. So you're going to wake up and you have a fresh start with the Lord, you have a fresh start with your day. And so now you're going to wake up and you have decisions to make. My Bible's sitting there. Am I going to read it? Am I going to read it? How much am I going to read? Do I need to read it today? I ought to read it today. So right away, the moment you wake up, the scale starts to move. Are you going to make decisions that move you toward mature? Or are you going to make decisions that move you down to immature? And that happens as soon as you wake up. The Lord isn't going to wait for you to spend 5 minutes on the immature section of the chart and come back up. So, again, this is on our, it's on our own conscience on this. So, we want, our desire, our heart should be, what we want to be mature. That's what we're going to strive for. Now, this bar of mature, again, it's not going to be the same for all of us. If we're a new believer, it's challenging to spend hours in Scripture every day. You're just picking up the Bible. It's all new. It's challenging, difficult. But what's the heart? You know, what is your heart after this growth? And so, dialing into a specific day of your life, you're going to be somewhere within these bounds on the decisions you make, the thoughts you're making, your heart, your attitude, your focus on the Lord. And so, if you can spend a whole day up here at the top line, 24 hours, every minute, every second, God bless you. Very difficult. But that should be our strive and our heart attitude. As soon as we're self-aware that we're falling off this line, we can make a correction. We can know, falling short. I didn't do the right thing. I need to confess something. I need to go to a brother, or you know, another fellow believer, fellow church member. So, since charts work for me, I'm a numbers cruncher type of person, I can relate to this graph. Hopefully you can as well, but the point is, you know, where are you in your spiritual walk, your spiritual growth, spiritual development? And absolutely, it is difficult each and every day to progress and have that focus on, am I doing everything possible to work toward the maturity that I need to have? So after all the, in this passage, we have the three categories of children, young men, and the fathers. What is it that we're working toward? We're working toward being the fully mature fathers. We're working toward full understanding or as complete an understanding as we can. And so, for example, in Philippians chapter 3, it talks about what's the prize, what's the goal we're working toward. And so, Paul says in chapter 3:13 of Philippians, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, in this case, our goal is full maturity. When we see Christ, when we pass from this world, we stand in front of Him, we want to know that we've done our absolute best at every point and every day that we've been on this earth to give account to the Lord that we've done as much as we possibly could have done, not fallen short. So, that's what we're having to keep in mind. And so, we're going to spend a little bit more time on these categories, the children, the young men, and the fathers. Oh, and one more point is that we're very thankful to be in this local assembly because we need tools for each of us that the Lord has provided to assist us in this this growth. And so what tools has the Lord provided in His local churches? He's provided pastors, teachers, He's provided, of course, in this case, of our church, the seminary and the teaching and the classes that are involved with that. But you know, more importantly is the showing up for each services, as Pastor has been teaching us regularly and emphasizing this, you know, lately especially. This is where we get fed. This is our spiritual food. We need food to grow. In this case, the food is the Scriptures and the truth. So that's how the Lord wants to equip us to continue in our growth. And those, so that equipment is available in our local church, in our local assembly. Okay, so now regarding the new believers, you know, we know that they're as if newborn babes. You know, in, for example, First Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, you know, new believers are as newborn babes. They desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so, notice that it says, well, you know, newborn babes, you know, they're not searching immediately or right after the strong meat or the difficult scriptures, the hard things that are to be understood, things that require a lot of study or discussion with those that are well-trained. Although some are so excited about new salvation and their belief and that they've been saved, that they do. They're just so overwhelmed and excited, and they've got a lot of passion and energy that they think they want to go right to the strong meat and the truly difficult passages, but they're probably going to struggle right there. So you start out with the milk and work your way up in terms of that would be the Lord's plan to start with that. And so just as you know, a newborn baby obviously would desire milk in its growth. We don't start you know, newborn babies right on filet of steak. They just can't handle that right now. And so same thing with a new believer. We start out with things that are manageable and things that they can handle. And so it's the scriptures that we need to go to for our growth and the truth and how we're going to make this progress. You know, so we know the familiar passage that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so for our spiritual life to grow, we need this development. We need to be in the truth. We need to be in the scriptures. That's where we're going to see our progress and our maturity. So if we wake up every morning, the Bible's closed, never gets read, we never think about the Lord first, etc., growth becomes very challenging, and there's no fruit from that growth. So, so we're going to proceed here, I think, with the children. In this case, we're talking about new believers. New believers need to think in terms of getting started, getting good counsel from pastors or others in the church. How can I make progress? And what is realistic for that point in the spiritual development? We don't want to take on something that's, we're not going to, you know, in other words, we don't want to go put a new believer right into a doctoral level seminary course and expect them to write the 400-page dissertation and defend it in 3 months. That's going to be a very hard lesson and not realistic. So start with something that they can accomplish and start with discipleship, start with a good plan for you know, what they're ready for at that point in time. So the next one we're going to look at is the young men. And so in this case, let me find where I'm at here. So as little children are really like the newborn babies, they latch on to their parents. They aren't always sure why they're attached so much to their parents, but they are. And the parents, likewise, are right there always for their newborns. And there's that unconditional love. There's that protection, security. And so, again, likely parallel then to the new believer, all of a sudden they're drawn to the Bible. I want to be in church. I want to get involved. Why am I changed like this all of a sudden? I don't understand it. Well, the Lord knows. And so now their new focus is the Lord, their new focus is truth, and they may not understand all why, but they are interested in growth, and they're excited about it, which is good. There's that joy. And the Lord is caring for them and then looking after and protecting them. And so as we move to the young men, now they've moved from beyond the spiritual babies level, if you will. And now the young men are getting into connection with the doctrine and the teachings and the scriptures. And they're really starting to see, I can understand this now. My heart's been changed. I know I can read the Bible and I can understand the scriptures. This is exciting. I've heard about all these passages in the past, maybe I've through various other churches or training, Sunday schools, whatever the avenue might be. But until they've been saved, it's been impossible to understand. Now that they have been saved, they have that light and they have that ability to understand scriptures. And now they're starting to grow and they're starting to mature and move towards deeper understanding. So now the spiritual babies were more on the affection side because they didn't really have anything else to anchor off. Now the young men have started to build more into the doctrine and the teaching, and they're really starting to get it. And so, for example, in our text here, in verse 13, for example, it says, I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. And in verse 14, it says, I have written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we can see here that as the Lord is talking to, in the case of the churches, where these men have had some training now, they're starting to see some fruit. In this case, they've overcome the wicked one. And why did they overcome the wicked one? Because they were strong. And because, most importantly, the word of God abideth in them. And without that word of God, they would have been unsuccessful in these challenges. And that was the significant point that these young men finally had enough training, discipleship, mentoring, these types of things, been in the scriptures, put in hard work to understand the truth, and now they've seen some success, and the Lord has noticed it. And so John writes about that through inspiration from the Lord. It's very important to get a hold of that. That it's not just passage of time, though, that we have to be careful. It's not just passage of time that leads to a development or maturity, understanding. It's not the passage of time only that you get more mature. You have to work at it. And again, it's work. So by definition, work is work. not hard. You have to give effort. But because you've been saved, because you've seen what the truth of the Scripture is and how it connects, you'll want to. You'll want to do the work. It's okay to be excited about it. Talk to your fellow church members. Say, "Hi, I had a major breakthrough in the Scripture this morning. I was reading these passages, and confused me for 45 years. I'm just making up a number. But I mean, it can happen. You find challenging scriptures, you find difficult passages, and then, wow, I get it. I connected the dots. The Lord helped me with these passages. And so, there's no shortcuts for the spiritual growth. Can't take a pill, can't subscribe to some web page, get a mail order or something. Can't just say, I want that growth pill that helps me go from little children to young men status and understanding of scriptures. Is there a special data card I can hold on to, put in my electronic device? Sorry. No. Not that I'm aware of. So, that's okay. You know, the Lord's plan for us is to be in the Scripture, discerning the Word, and understanding the truth that has been given in the Bible. And so, yes, it's hard, but we can overcome through continued work and effort, and our heart wants to understand these scriptures. So the young men here, they've developed, they've continued in their training, and they've overcome the evil one because they're strong. The Word of God abideth in them, and that's allowed them to overcome the evil one. So the characteristic of spiritual young men is they've had training in the Word of God. The Word of God abides in them. They've worked at what the Bible teaches. And as in comparison to the little children, they're relying on their affection. They weren't quite sure why they hunger for more truth. Didn't really understand it all at the time. They may have been ignorant on some things, got some things wrong in scriptures, but that's okay. You know, that they're still working at it. They were still a new believer. But now the young man has grown and gotten beyond that and has made progress. So, of course, the warning that we need to have here is that as young men are making progress and they're growing and they're learning, they're getting more light, we call it. You know, another way to rewrite this chart here would be light on the top, maturity, perfection. On the bottom, darkness or immature, imperfection, sinful. The light comes from the Scriptures. It's the truth, the Word of God. The darkness is the error, the false religions, false teachings. So these young men, as their growth is developing, maturing, they really need to discern light from darkness, truth, error. What's a decision that would work me toward maturity, not the immaturity? So that's where Satan plays a role. Satan wants to deceive at this point in time. You know, of course, that's his specialty. This is a deception. So that I see, he'll say, "Okay, I see someone with some training now, some understanding. I'm gonna just twist this word right over here. Are they paying attention, or can I create a little trap and make some deception to throw them off their training?" So, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, it talks specifically that Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. And he wants to take that light and divert the us as believers into going into the false teachings, the errors. And so it's especially critical as you do understand more and more, your growth does develop, that discernment has to get sharper and sharper. And it will. The more you're in the truth and more you're in the scriptures, you'll know where the potential traps lie. But even though you know, even though you're aware of them, we sometimes fall. Even though we know what the mature decision would be versus the immature decision, our lust of the flesh may cause us to fall. And so that's the warning that we have to have ever present as we're going through our training, that the more light we have, the more understanding, the more truth we know, it's even more more accountability, more awareness that we need to have our antennas tuned in to what when that error is right in front of us and we have to make that decision. So, Satan has many ways which he can deceive us. And I think it was Brother Jeff this morning talked about the cults and false religions. That information is very dangerous. So the more grounded we are in our scriptures, we can certainly study about the scriptures to understand where the errors and the traps are. A sign of our maturity would be then when we can find a situation where we may know somebody. We know someone in our family, a friend, or a neighbor that we know they're getting false teaching, but we can turn that opportunity into something that we can use so that the Lord can work in their heart and change that error into truth. So, so these spiritual young men, they've studied the doctrine, they've grown, they're making progress, but they have not yet become the mature fathers. And that's the third category. So in verse 13, it says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. In verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. So these fathers now are the most mature in the churches. They've been there a long time, and time has allowed them through their study and their maturity to increase. And so they're sought after now by the new believers and the young men, and those that are desiring to get more maturity. These mature saints in the church can be a great help now to develop the next those that are continuing and want to seriously increase their study and their understanding. So this is the path that the these verses are here for us to understand. We start out with the little children, a new believer. We move because our heart and our desire is to increase in our understanding. We want to study the scriptures. We want to find the more truth. We want to understand how what the Lord's plan is for us. It's our heart's desire because we want to be obedient to the Lord. We want to know how we can be like Christ, that perfect one, fully mature. It's our desire to do as much as we can each and every day, because we know that it is a challenge. It's difficult. We wake up, now you're starting with a clean slate. All that hard work, all that truth you studied yesterday, that allowed you to grow. Now keep going. Don't lose it. Don't step backward. Keep making good decisions. Keep that focus on the Lord. And so that's where we want to be as our general mode that we're thinking, the Lord's in front of me. I'm going to see him one day. I'm going to be standing right in front of him, and I'm going to give account for each and every one of my decisions, my thoughts, my spoken words, my actions. It's all going to be there. So I need to have my focus be. I want to be at this highest level of every second, every moment. I don't want to miss one, but I might miss one. We're human, our flesh gets in the way, it's challenging, but we can't let our flesh be the one that takes us over. We have to know that we're trained, we've studied. Our heart is to be obedient to the Lord. We know we have that respectful fear of the Lord in front of us, and we have to keep that mark, that prize at hand to know that I am going to see him one day. I'm going to be excited to be in front of the Lord. I'm going to give account for all that I've done to my spiritual development, my growth. And so I want to be excited to give the highest report of myself in front of the Lord that I can. And so that should be our motivation, as we look at our lifetime of spiritual growth, and we know it's a constant building process. It doesn't come easily, and because it's hard, even more reason to focus on it and realize that each and every day I have a new start. I have a clean slate. I'm motivated. I'm excited. I want more. I want to do for the Lord the right things and things that are obedient to him, and that's what's going to keep me going in my spiritual growth, that progress. Amen. So one final verse here in the book of John, chapter 17. And, in this section, Jesus is praying to the Father. And then in this prayer, Jesus prays for those who are his own. And he says in verse 17 of chapter 17, I've sanctified them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And so in this prayer, Jesus knows that he's been sent to the world to die on the cross for our sins, so that all sins are forgiven for those who trust in him. And he loved us so much that he did that act of obedience to the Father, died on the cross for our sins, and so we have that as our anchor, as our focus. That he died, he did that for us. It's finished. It's settled. Our sins are forgiven. So God knew this would be his plan. But back on verse 17. We want to be sanctified. We want to continue in our spiritual growth. We want to continue and move from that little child status to the fully mature adult. And how do we do that? It's through the Word. Thy Word is truth. And so we stay in the Word. We learn the Scriptures. And it's our heart. It's our attitude that we want to grow more. We want to understand more truth. And, no, there won't be a milestone at one point in time along the way. There won't be a certificate with your name on it sitting there. But we know that the ultimate goal is when we leave this earth, we're standing in front of the Lord, that we're going to be able to stand and give account of ourselves and our own actions. And that will be the ultimate high prize, that we can give a testimony to the Lord that we've done what he commanded us to do, to be in the scriptures and learn his word. So that is our message today, is that we want to have that heart's desire. Our spiritual growth is not always recognized by others, although there should be fruit where others can see, and we're accountable within our own selves. But of course, we're accountable to the Lord, but it's our discipline, it's our responsibility, it's our heart attitude to be in the Word, seek someone out that if we, when those times we need help, a church member, a pastor, those that are mature and have been through these struggles, those are the teaching moments oftentimes. And they can get us in a time where we might be feeling stuck or in a rut, and there's no necessity that we need to stay in that rut. We want to get past that, learn from it, and then move on to our continuing truth and continuing advancement in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. So with that, we'll close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this passage we've looked at this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this truth. Lord, I just pray that it be in each of our hearts, that we have a heart to understand the truth, and Lord, that we would grow each and every day. And Lord, we face the challenges. And it's real life, Lord, that we live each and every day. Lord, we live in the world, even though we're not of the world. And Lord, we just pray that you break down those challenges before us, even before we know them. Lord, that we have our heart's desire focused, Lord, on learning the scriptures, advancing in the truth, being obedient to you, Lord, so that one day when we're standing before you, we can give testimony that we've matured, Lord, that not just stayed at a low level of growth, Lord, but that we've had progress, we can advance. And Lord, that it's been our lifelong journey and excitement to do this. And Lord, we just thank you that we have this teaching, and Lord, we ask your blessing on it as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.